ॐ गणानां त्वा गणपतिगुं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमं ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणा ब्रह्मणस्पत आनशृण्वन् ऊतिभिः सेदसातनम् ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। Let's take a few very slow and deep breaths. When you take the deep breaths, do it with your full attention, so it's not just out of habit. Really pay attention how slow I can make the breath, how deep it can flow. Making the breath as quiet as I can. If I really do it with my full attention, then very quickly the mind becomes more quiet, I become more present. Sitting very still. We've been looking into different aspects of Maya. One will say, how do you know Maya exists? What's the proof? So let's take a few examples to help us look into this. I go and I watch a movie, and I know nothing's really happening. They're just actors, actresses, some special effects. But really speaking, there's nothing happening, nothing to get excited about, nothing to get to make any of the emotions go up and down, nothing to feel afraid or sad about. When I keep this in mind, then I can just watch, enjoy the movie without much emotional involvement. Then my alertness slips away as I get caught up in the movie. And I get excited. I get frightened. Maybe some tears also are shed. just due to forgetfulness. I get caught up. Just being aware of the situation, knowing it's mithya, is put into the background. I kind of know it's mithya. I know it's not completely real. Later on, I observe, yes, it was just a movie, just a story. Wow, what a wonderful movie, how it captured me. For the movie to work, for the movie to move me, I need to give it some level of reality. One other example. I go to sleep and I have a dream. I slowly wake up, I'm almost fully awake, and now I know it was just a dream. The fact that now I'm alert, aware, I know it's just a dream, doesn't have any reality. But now slowly I drift back into sleep and the dream takes life again. A few moments ago, I knew the dream is unreal. Now it's become real. To become real so quickly when I knew it was unreal a few moments ago. When I wake up, I notice and I know it's unreal. I even forget it pretty soon afterwards. So what gives reality to this dream? And not being awake, not being aware. And then in the waking state, I'm fully present aware. When I'm really present and aware, everything seems to be almost transparent in the way that, yes, I'm aware, everything just comes and goes within the awareness. What reality does it really have? I'm present, I'm aware. Some sounds come and go. Can they touch the awareness? Can they do anything to the awareness? No, the awareness remains the same. Like the movie on the screen. Some thought, some small emotion bubbles in the mind. Yeah, just some passing thing, just an appearance. I'm still that awareness. Then once I'm caught unaware, the whole thing becomes very real and solid. The situations, all of my ideas, past, future. I identify strongly with the situation, with the body, with the mind. And at some point, again, I look closely, I'm aware, I'm alert. If I look closely at any experience between the last time I was aware, alert, and now, everything was just momentary. How could I be so forgetful? I'm the awareness. I'm the same one as I was all the time. Just during those other times, something has clouded my vision. Avidya, or ignorance, has taken over. And the world then gained tremendous reality. Very important. Any incident, anything I take a look at through the eye of wisdom, through observing it with alertness, with awareness, I look at and I see it doesn't have substance. Any experience I've had, thought I've had in the past. When that alertness isn't there, then it seems very real. Just like if I kept the light on and I project a movie, strong light, I can't see the movie. You need a certain condition. You need it to be dark. You need the screen to be there. Then you see the movie. So under certain conditions, this all seems very thick and real. The darkness has to be there, avidya. I have to have interest in what's going on. Meaning I project ideas, vikshepa. So under these conditions, the waking world is seeming very real. And it isn't the world that's proclaiming, I'm here, I'm real. I'm the one who proclaims that. So how in this world, when looked at very closely, I see it's unreal, appear so real, there has to be this avidya, which is maya. There has to be this maya to make it seem, to give it a reality which it doesn't really have. Shanti, shanti. Very good. So we've been looking at the this more in-depth commentary on the eighth verse by Sri Sureshwaracharya, one of Adiguru Shankara's main disciples. And we got up to the 19th verse, I believe, right? So let's read this one again, just go for a little bit more and then continue on. So it's saying like this. Tabi karoti karmani punastair badhyate manaha manasa kevala sakshi bhanuvat purushav paraha. On account of these states, the waking, dream, deep sleep, the mind performs actions and is bound by them time and again. The sole witness of the mind is the Supreme Person. Supreme Person which illumines it like the sun. So the mind is illumined by the Sakshi, as sun illumines the objects. So we discussed this, and we discussed how, on the one hand, when I really look closely, I can see I'm the one who's aware of the seeing, aware of the hearing, aware of the body, aware of the thoughts, emotions. When I look closely, I notice this, but old habits die hard. That's what they say. So although I'm akarta, non-doer, abhokta, non-enjoyer, I'm the witnessing consciousness, because of the deep impression, it is very easy just to slip into that. So it takes a lot to look at it in a different way. So again, that's why the Shravarnam, in order to clarify this, to really point out, Shravarnam points everything out. Mananam, to reflect on, to remove, to help to clear my doubts that are, that I think, how can it be like this? And then Mananam, I keep looking at it to clear any other ideas, so I clearly understand that. And then Dhyasanam, to strengthen this vision, the vision that I'm the Sakshi, and weaken the other ideas, so they won't be as strong. Slowly they get weaker, and this one becomes more prominent. So there's a very nice story to illustrate about these habits. The story is that young prince, the child, gets kidnapped by the dacoits, and then he's taken away, and the king is very sad, trying to find him, but never managed to find. So years go by, and this prince is raised by the thieves. So grows up there and everything. And then years later, somehow, somebody recognizes him, brings him to the palace, and they're so happy that they found there, the king and queen, they found their son. They're very happy. So they bring him to stay in the palace. Now, this young man, for so many years, was living as a thief, right? Not as a prince. So now he's staying in the palace. And so what happens is, in the morning they're showing him around, and he sees a very beautiful golden statue. So in his mind he's thinking, I'm going to steal that. So the attendant that sees that, sees his reaction when he sees it, says, "Oh prince, don't even think of stealing that. It's yours. Why do you need to, why take it? What's there to steal? It's all yours." So, oh yeah, that's right. I don't need to start you know, in my mind thinking of some sort of plan how I'm going to sneak it away. So in this way, the old habit of being the thief, different things keep coming to his mind, how he's going to sneak away. He sees some guards coming. He's naturally wanting to sneak away and hide because he's afraid, you know, they'll see him. They'll recognize he's a thief and they'll catch him. So then again, oops, I don't need to hide from them. I can command them. I'm the prince. I'm not a thief. So although he already knows he's the prince, already living in the palace, still the old samskara of being a thief is still there, and it slowly takes some time for him to, for this samskara, I'm the prince, I'm the ruler, for that to settle in the mind and become more stronger like this. It's the same way Vedanta is saying, you're the Atma, you're unchanging, right? You're Satchidananda. And then I started to understand it and see this, but the old samskara saying, I'm this individual, right? I'm born in this place. I have to deal with these and these problems, right? Poor me syndrome. The jiva has disease, or the, it's the, but the word doesn't come to my mind, but one that's not going away, keeps coming back, of poor me syndrome, why me syndrome, like this. Doesn't manage to get rid of it. It gets rid in some fields, and other fields it comes in, the complaining syndrome, the worry syndrome, all these things, keeps coming back like this. So in this way, take some time to, I'm still called, so that viveka, keep reminding myself, no, I'm the Atma, what is this? How am I caught up in these things? So day in, day out, I have to every day remind myself, look at it like this, so that samskara will be stronger, the other one will be weaker. So like this, the chronic disease, that's what it is. Now, we shouldn't say it's a chronic disease. Because the thing is, let's say somebody has some chronic problem. They can say, I have a chronic problem, poor me in this. No, take whatever measures I can and just live happily, do best as I can. If I dwell on that, that thing is going to pull me down more and more so, right? There are people who are disabled and they're very happy and chatting and doing everything, no problem. Because, okay, that's just a minor thing. What's the big deal? Okay, I can't walk, no problem. I can do everything. Why should I even think about it? So then the person, it's nothing for them. So then, what is that? So in the same way, let's not think, oh, I have a very bad chronic problem of jivatvam. Oh, poor me. No, it's just, you know, side thing, small thing. Let's not make a big deal out of it like this. Making it smaller, easier to tackle it like this. It's just some small issue, not a big deal. Like this, so in this way. So this is what happens then, like this. So I'm the Sakshi, and I have to make that more and more clear to myself. More and more clear. Shravanamanam Nididhyasanam, and really sincerely look at it in this way, what happens. Actually, in different series talks, I was hearing of Swami Tattvedanandaji. He pointed out very interestingly. He was saying like this, look, if there's an issue, something you have to deal with, some worldly thing, the more you slice and dice and analyze and think and everything, how much more weight and reality you're giving it? So much. But if you just think about, take some facts, some things, okay, to understand, make a decision, done, and live with it, then what weight does it have? Then you're not giving as much importance, you have much more freedom to, you know, for Atma Vichara. Because we're giving that so much more weight than it's weighing on us. Yeah, whatever it is you do, and be done with it, like this. Very interesting, like that. Because we can analyze things so much, and nowadays, how much more we can than other times. Because, you know, one small thing you want to do, how much you can read about in the internet, and find out everything about in this. Does that mean, okay, maybe in the end, we can find a little bit better solutions, technically, than without that. But how much more of our you know, mind and energy it's taking, and identification with an afterwards. So what's the trade-off? That's something really for us to think about. So in any case, let's continue here. So number 20 we're at. Yata pranikritairarkaha karma bhiranaiva badhyate tata manakritairatma sakshitvannaiva badhyate yata prani kritair arkah karma bhiranaiva badhyate tatha manah kritair atma sakshitvannaiva badhyate. Just as the sun isn't bound by the living being's actions, atma, being the witness, is not bound by activities of the mind. Like this. So what happens is, all the living beings here in the world, from the rooster who wakes up because of the sun and then wakes everybody else up, except that the the rooster isn't employed anymore in most places, right? The sun comes up and everybody's up and doing their actions and everything because without the light of the sun. And then the sun is going down, so all of the beings are slowly wrapping up everything they have to do so they can go to sleep. And then the nocturnal beings, also because of the sun, sun is going away, good, our day has begun, now we can get up and do things now that it's dark, right? So then the owls, etc., predators, they get up, now it's their turn. So the sun, all this activity is happening in the light of the sun, right? Just imagine if somebody is in is off of the earth in some satellite somewhere else where you don't have the same day and night. How difficult it'll be. We're so used to it. I just met somebody who lives in Alaska. Certain time of year, the sun never rises. You get a little light for 2 or 3 hours where it's on the just below the horizon or something, but pitch dark. Wow, imagine that, how difficult that must be. There, in school, if it's up to 20 degrees below zero, the kids have to go outside for recess. If it's below 20, then they stay inside in recess. It goes down sometimes up to 50 below. She said 1 year recently, for 2 days they didn't have school, it was 50 below, and just the school bus drivers said, you know, it's just the vision is so bad they can't see. So even almost 50 below zero, they have school. But in any case, then certain time of the year, the sun barely goes below the horizon, so you have to have very thick curtains to have darkness so you sleep. How difficult like this. So if you live there, it's not what we're used to, our natural biorhythm like this. But in any case, that's the side thing. Main thing is here, the sun is bringing all the activity. Now, is the sun saying, oh, all these people are doing all these wonderful actions in the light, I'm so happy, right? Making beautiful gardens and you know, doing nice service, very nice. I'm very happy that my light is going on them. And oh no, my light is going on those guys, they're rascals, they're disturbing each other, they're causing arguments and war. I shouldn't have my light there. The sun is just not, by nature it is illumining. It's not doing an action, saying, let me illumine. You know, let me illumine. These people are having Vedanta class, let me illumine them. Right? These people are working in slaughterhouse, let me not illumine them. It's not doing that. It just illumines. It doesn't have anything to do with what it's illumining. The illuminer has nothing to do with what's being illumined. Totally separate thing. So in the same way, I, Sakshi, within my light, then, the things appear. The things appear. Sight appears. Right? I'm aware. If I'm not aware of sight, where is sight? I'm caught up in something else. I'm listening. Somebody's singing very beautiful music, or somebody's saying something very important, and I'm sitting here. I don't even notice, even though you're waving or something, because my attention wasn't there. So the light of awareness is there, then it comes to light. If not, then where will it be? So like this hearing, the body, the thoughts, within the light of awareness. Light of awareness, though, is not affected by it at all, right? Nothing. We study Nartaka Dipa Prakaranam, one of the most important ones in the Panchadashi, where it talked all about this, right? All the movement of the dancer within the light. Dancer goes, they close down, nobody's on the stage, same light, empty stage is seen. No matter what, the same light. Light isn't affected by, they put on an exciting drama, they put on a, you know, melodrama with a lot of emotional things, they put on comedy, the light, same thing, not affected by what's going on. So Sakshi, untouched by all of this stuff, untouched, within that light, it occurs. Now, one important thing here also, when we say, okay, I want to do Atman Atma Viveka, I want to know the difference between Sakshi and what it's illumining. So I can't say, and then I say, okay, now I'm studying Maya, everything is Mithya, right? This house I'm sitting is Mithya, the car is Mithya, the earth is Mithya, USA, India, Russia, all this, they're all Mithya, yes. But my back, which is hurting in this, no, that's not Mithya, that's very important. My dog isn't well, that's very important, that's not Mithya. Well, dog is still outside of me, so okay, I can see, right? So my problem, though, that's not Mithya. So the Mithyatvam isn't just the external world. Along with it, also the individual, the jiva, is also Mithya. You can't see the world as Mithya and keep the individual intact. It doesn't work that way. Mithya, everything is Mithya. Mithya is world and the individual as well. Because you can't hold on to this one and let go of that one. You can't have the character of the dream and let go of the dream world. They go together, hand in hand, because it's all interconnected. So the world and individual counterparts interconnected. You can't separate them like this. Because once the world is gone, where's the individual? That's deep sleep. You drop the world, the individual gone too. Meditation, I drop the individual. No individual, where's world? So Atman Atma Viveka, very easy for me to see that the house isn't Atma, and then those near to maybe aren't Atma, the dog isn't Atma, then also the body, the mind, that's why we look at the koshas. That's also not Atma, meaning that's Anatma, meaning it's Mithya, like this. So this is important. That's one of the most important reasons why we incorporate the idea of Sakshi, I'm the witnessing awareness, in order to take that step back and separate Atma from the body, from the senses, from the emotions, from the thoughts, from all of these things. Once we can separate, then there's Atma and Anatma. Right? Atma is the consciousness, and Anatma is the changing, the manifest matter. Thought is also matter, just subtle. Energy is matter, just subtle. Then once you can see the difference between the two, then it's easier to see Mithyatvam, to see the non-reality of the Anatma. But I have to, that's why Sakshi, I have to look closely. Sakshi is, the body is not Sakshi, I am Sakshi. The thoughts are not Sakshi, emotions not Sakshi, I am Sakshi, the witnessing awareness. That's very important. Because you can't have, you know, you can't, Having the world be Mithya, but keeping the individual intact is having the cake and eating it too. It's something that doesn't work. It only works for Escher. Escher can draw you. If Escher studied some Vedanta, he'd find a way to, just like he draws the hand that's drawing itself. He'll figure some way to show this. It would be very nice, actually, if he studied some and he tried to show something like this. It would be very interesting. But in any case, you can't keep it intact like that. So it's important to see that very important, the Mithyatvam of my body, my ideas, me as individual, this is what has to be looked into. And that's the being Sakshi really helps with that. Because Sakshi, within the light of awareness, the seeing is comes into, you know, is the seeing is there, the object is there, and the observer is there too within the light of awareness. Because when there's just seeing, where is seer and where is object? There's just seeing. There's just awareness. So the moment I separate, there's the object and seeing, also the seer is born. How do I know seer is born? Because I'm aware. When I drop the identification as the one who sees, I drop, there's no separation, and there's just the consciousness. So within the light of awareness, there is also the individual. Look, you see the dream, and in the dream, there's not just the dream world, there's you, the individual. That individual is an idea in your mind, isn't it? The individual in the dream is not an inherent thing, it's not absolute thing, it's an idea. You think of your past, there's situations you're thinking of. There's the whole situation around you, and there's the individual you within it. Isn't that also in your mind? That's when you think of your past. So when you're in the present, isn't it exactly the same? In the present, there's whole thing. I'm aware of whole thing. The whole thing is situation around and the individual which I take myself to be. Isn't that? You're aware of that. You're aware of this individual and everything else. So you're aware of situation and individual like this. Because I identify so much with individual, then I take that on, then it seems to be the real I. But how's that the real I? Right? How can you say that's the real I like this? Okay? So in this way, all the actions, everything happens within the light of awareness. I say I'm speaking. How do I know I'm speaking? I'm aware of the speaking process. Right? I'm aware of that. If I am speaking, then I have to limit myself and be the speaking. But then I'm aware of that whole thing happening like this. I just identify as speaker like this. Speaker. Then I'm hearing. I identify I'm the one who's listening. But I'm aware of the listening happening. Right? I'm aware of it happening. Am I doing anything? I'm just aware of hearing happening. Did I make it happen? No. Right? The speaking is happening. Some samskara is there, making it happen. Some thought is involved. Some desire to say something is involved, all these. Okay, very good. Where's I, the awareness? I, the awareness, am aware of it. So why am I the one doing? As the individual, I'm the one doing. As awareness, I'm just observing the whole thing happening. But out of habit, I identify with it. So you try to be sakshi of seeing, of hearing, easier. Easier to be sakshi of the information coming through senses, because there it's happening regardless whether I'm doing or not, right? You hear, you observe hearing happening. Very good, hearing happens, I'm aware of it. But when you do an action, personally I think that might be a little more difficult to observe, because you have to go and do it. The hearing will happen whether you're trying to hear or not, you just observe it. But you do an action, there's more thought involved. There has to be some thought, something to impel the individual to act, right? So the thing is, to step aside and observe that, wouldn't be as easy. But then, that's why simple work that you're doing, I'm walking, I'm washing dishes. Dishwashing is a great time for being sakshi. I'm working the garden, Like this, you do simple things, just walking, easier. That's why people like walking meditation. I'm doing an action, but I can observe that the action is happening. I'm breathing, trying not to regulate the breath, just watch the breath. Breath is happening. Then afterwards, more involved action also can be, because more involved action, same thing. Also, you can observe it like this. So then slowly you can learn to observe, and then I'm the sakshi, I'm not the one who's the karta, the doer, like this. So this is how, slowly, slowly shift your attention to the awareness. Can I be awareness and doing something? You try. You can't be fully aware of something and doing. This is actually something I noticed. Surya Namaskar, right? You do Surya Namaskar. if you observe the whole thing very closely, you'll find you can't be the one doing the whole motion of Surya Namaskar and the one observing. You can't do the two together. So you're observing it happening. You know, maybe you're jumping quickly between observer and doer there, but hard for you just to stay as observer. If you're observer, you're observing the whole thing happening. You're not the one doing it. The one you're doing is just some idea identification. So in this, the activities are happening in the light of Atma, in the light of consciousness, the things happen. That I am doing is an idea, right? It's an idea, but it's because of identification with mind, intellect, right? Prana, body, identify with all of these. So you do the action, observe the body. The body's doing. Are the sensations of the body? No. So you're not the sensations of the body, right? Then there's a thought impelling the action to happen. Are you that thought? You observe the thought. No, I'm not the thought, right? Right. There's a samskara, impression that because of that, this action is happening. You don't see the samskara, but you see the impulse that comes from it. Impulse that comes from that impulse? No, because I'm aware there's some impulse that, because it's being pushed to act in a certain way. So this whole conglomerate of things is there, together making the action happen. Any single component you can single out as part of the action is not you, not you as the consciousness, as Sakshi. But still, out of habit, I take myself as the one who is doing it. Very interesting, like this. So this is something really to observe. So the activity is happening, but it does not touch the Sakshi, does not touch the consciousness. How can it? In this way. So this is what this is saying. All the activities are happening within the light of consciousness, right? I'm not bound by any of this. If I was, then I would be the limited one. There would be no way out like this if I'm that, but because I'm limited, wherever I go, I'll be limited in this way. But all limitations appear and then disappear. So how can they be real like this? So this is an important point to say like this, that the actions can't bind me. How can the actions bind? Just if I identify and I let them bind me. Anything I don't identify with, it doesn't bind me. Anything I identify with, that binds me like this. So it's only the identification that causes the issue, not anything else. Like that example before, the person who's has some sort of handicap like this, can't walk or something, can't see. When they take it as identifying, I'm limited because of this, okay, feel limited. When not, what's there to be feel limited like this, in this way? So this is the important point here. Let's see the next verse here. Atma karoti karmani badhyate muchyate chataihi ityaupachariki kriptihi brahmamatraeva kevalam. There's that one word, the second word in the third line, well, the second conglomerate words, kliptihi. So there it's we have in the alpha right, that vowel, r. That's why it looks like a low with a r underneath it for those who read Sanskrit. So klirpt is the only root in modern Sanskrit that I'm aware of. I haven't seen anywhere else that has the r in it. So like this. Atma karoti karmani badhyate muchyate chataihi ityaupachariki klirptihi brahma matra eva kevalam. The fact that the Atma performs actions and is bound by and liberated from them is only a figurative sense. In a figurative sense. These are but a mere delusion. So like this, this is what happens. So there's a nice story to illustrate this one. Once upon a time, there was a washerman, right? Why once upon a time? Because that's also becoming the way the washermen go to the river and wash them. This is becoming history, probably because now, you know, at least in India where a lot of washermen are there, people are get the people that give them clothes, more and more of them are getting washing machines now. But in any case, the dhobi, the washerman, would every day go to the few houses. They're amazing. Some of these people, this disappearing, but some of these people, like the washerman will go to 10 people's houses, every day a different group of people, take their clothes, wash it, and give the, you know, they have to wash and put it all the exact same clothes. They never get the wrong one to the wrong house. You know, we think we're very intelligent in this, and we make all this modern technology for it. But how they do. Somebody made a huge study about the biggest thing like this is the in Mumbai, how this group of people, they pick up the tiffin boxes from the wives and then take their tens of thousands, not hundreds of thousands of them that go through, pass one person to the other to the train to drop off and then send back home afterwards. And they never get the wrong one to the wrong place. What kind of a system they have? Phenomenal. Where the modern technology couldn't do it like this. So real, you know, people went to study this exact thing. So in any case, that's the side thing. Now for the main thing. That's just the main thing. The washerman then has a donkey because it's a big load for him to carry. Puts the whole bundle on the donkey. Goes to the river, washes everything, puts it to dry. When he gets there, of course, he ties the donkey to the post or to the tree. He rests for a few hours, you know, drinks something, has some lunch, sleeps. It's very hot, he's sleeping in the shade. Then he goes, everything's dry, folds it really nicely, puts it on the donkey, goes back and delivers it to everybody. So very good. So one day, he wasn't feeling very good in the morning, so he didn't do everything as he usually does. So when he packed everything, usually has this rope that he takes and he ties the donkey to the tree. Now he didn't bring the rope. You know, he's doing this day in, day out for years. But that day, you know, some big argument at home, some problem with family, this, he didn't feel good, didn't sleep well. So somehow then he just forgot some things at home and he forgot this. So he's bewildered. What is he going to do? He can't just leave the donkey. He'll wander off. He needs the donkey and everything. So he's thinking what to do. So while he's thinking there, some wise man is walking by. Let's make it wise woman for now. It's always wise man, now wise woman comes by. So she says, oh, my son, what's wrong? He says, oh, mother, I don't know what to do here. Here's my problem. You see that I come here every day? Yeah, I see you come every day. You do. And I tie the donkey while I do my work, but I forgot my rope. What am I going to do? How am I going to do the work without? She says, listen, not a problem. Just pretend that you're tying the donkey, because the donkey is a donkey. The donkey is used to being tied every day. So you tie the donkey, and it'll think it's tied to the tree. I said, really? Yeah, just try. You just pull it near the tree, tie it, make the motion that you're tying, and, you know, really touch the leg and everything you're doing, and do that. So he tied it, and then pretended that I went. Every once in a while I look back at the donkey. The donkey is just hanging out as it usually does. It can only go until, you know, 2 meters from the tree because of the distance. It never tries to go further because it's used to that. So he doesn't sleep as well in the afternoon. He wakes up a few times. He watches the donkey still there. So he's very happy. Boy, it's wonderful, wonderful advice. So he sleeps nicely. Very good. Then he wakes up. He packs everything up, puts on the donkey. Then he says, okay, donkey, let's go. And donkey's not moving. Hey, stupid, get going. Not moving. He takes a stick and, you know, threatens it. It moves back, but it doesn't move away from the tree. Saying, oh my God, what's with this donkey today? What's wrong with it? So then, just then, the same wise woman's walking by going the other direction. Oh, why are you being so cruel to the poor animal? What's wrong? Well, you gave me advice. You told me to tie this, to pretend I'm tying the donkey to the tree. Now it doesn't want to move, the silly thing. Well, did you untie the donkey? What do you mean untie? Well, the donkey thinks it's tied to the tree, so you have to make it think it's untied from the tree like this. Oh, really? Okay, so let me go and just do the motions and everything did. And the moment he let it go, the donkey starts going very happy and going away from there. Ah, so then he can go home happily and everything. So the donkey, because of the habit, it thinks I am bound, I'm tied to the tree, right? So who is that donkey in the story? I think that I am bound by all these ideas in my own mind. The ideas in my own mind, I'm bound, right? I'm worried about something in the future. Where is that? What's binding me to that? My own mind. There's some big problem now. Oh, it's nothing in this. I'm not bound by it. Some small thing. Oh, I'm so worried about it. Who's binding me? Who's bound to it? Is there anything binding? No, in my own mind, it's just a mental idea that I'm bound to it, right? Look, we have all these problems, so many things, then I die. Where are all those problems? Financial or health or family. Where are they when I die? They're gone, right? So where are they? It's like you left the dream. You wake up from the dream. It's gone. You die from the world. Where is it? You don't pay attention. You're just present. Where is it? You know. You take care of it, whatever's need a little bit, and then that's it. You put it aside. So the big thing we make out of it is my own mind. Binding is my own idea. Bound is my own idea, like this. Somebody will say, well, yeah. Well, you're bound by the body. You can't just jump onto that mountain. I say, yeah, don't jump on the mountain. The body doesn't do that. But the body's mitya, the mountain is also mitya, like the dream. It's not that I'm unbound, now I can see everything everywhere. No, because the whole thing is dropped as mitya. When you go to deep sleep, the whole thing collapses. The individual and world collapses. When the movie projector is turned off, or the film is cut, right? Nowadays they don't do it like that anymore, it's digital, but let's say the older way, and then the film gets torn, cut. The whole space of the movie, action, characters, everything goes at once. So it's not that I have to be able to be everywhere, see everything, that I'm omnipresent like this. I'm not omnipresent because I'm the consciousness in which this all appears. So when it drops, there's no world and no individual together. This is the thing that some people think, okay, I should have some siddhis, power, so that I can see everything, be in every place, see everybody's thoughts like this. But that's, again, has to do that, it has to be done through some upadhi. So you have a very special upadhi, but it's still an upadhi, right? Upadhi is still limited. In Kartopanishad, Lord Yama, he told about that. He did such tapas and everything, so he got a very special upadhi. He's one of the devatas, one of the gods, the god of death. But he said, look, I worked so hard, I should have known better. I learned Vedas, or I was taught also Vedanta, but I still went after a limited thing. I got a limited result, he says. So now I have to live this whole creation. When it goes, only then I can be free, where you don't want any of this. You're just simple, small human. You don't want any of this. You're so much greater than me. That's what he's saying. So in this way, I have to see the mityatvam. One thing about mitya then is, when you look into it closely, you see it's an appearance. If something is substantial, when you look into it, no matter how much you look, it's really there, like this. Like maybe something is gold-plated. They put a very thin layer of gold, and the whole rest underneath isn't gold. So if you just look a little bit within, you see it's not gold. Whether you pierce through it, whether you weigh it, right? Very famous, Archimedes, who that way figured out, how can I tell if all the gold is here? So if you inquire a little into, you can see it's not the real gold in this way. But if it's real gold, it'll go through these tests. You'll look more inside, it's gold. You'll weigh it, it's the whole weight of the gold, whatever other tests, chemical tests, yes, it's real gold, okay. But if you really look into it, you'll figure out if it's not real gold. And if from any angle you look at it and it doesn't pass the test, this is fishy. So same way here, We take it all real, but when we really look into it, where's the reality of it? You're just present. Where's everything? But then we let the rope, you know, even though we see beyond it, if the donkey looks down, doesn't see the rope. No, but it can't be. He kind of tied me. No, no, it can't. Thinks I'm free. No, no, but he tied me a little while ago. I'm near the tree. It happens every day. No, no way. I can't be. I'm not. I'm tied. I'm bound. Only when the master comes and unties can I go. It's not possible. Yeah, I think I really even feel the rope on my leg. Because every day it's tied there, so you're used to feeling it. So I'm free. Something weighs in my mind. Because I'm used to having weight in my mind. What is it? Just not an idea in my mind, but because I take it as that, I take it as real. Why? I don't question it or look into it. So in this way, this is this donkey story which you really have to think about. Because when you don't think about it, is something binding you? Is it binding you? Is something troubling you? Where is it? Like this. How much of it is in my mind? So something very important for us to look into like this. Okay. So in this way, this is what happens. And similarly, the dream, in the dream, it's so real. I'm so caught up in everything. How real it seems. But the moment I wake up from the dream, where's its whole reality? Where did it go? All drops all at once. Where is it? Anything my past, I think it my past. Where is it? Can you hold on to it? Does it have substance? Where I grew up, all of us, where we grew up is not the same as it is now, as it was then. Whole situation when I was in school, friends, this, where is all that? What substance does it have? Isn't it as good as a dream now? Like this. So how can I give that? The reality I give is because I'm imparting the reality to it, not because of something else. How else can it be like this? But the mind, the impression is very strong and stubborn, so I keep identifying with it. I keep holding on to that like this. Very stubbornly like this. But I'm aware. I'm aware everything just comes and goes. I'm still aware. That's constant. No, 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 but like this. Always the mind has but this, but that excuses. In the commentaries, Adiguru Shankara's Bhasha commentary, when the Purva Pakshi comes, the one with a different idea, somebody having some doubts, starts always nanu. Nanu, the meaning but. But what about? But what about? So the doubts about it, we can think of so many. We can constantly generate more and more of them. But we have to look at it closely, right? Who's bringing up the doubt in my mind? I'm bringing up the doubt myself. A thought comes and then I identify with it. How do you know there's a doubt in the mind? You're aware of the doubt, right? What brings the doubt to light? You, the conscious being, is bring the doubt to light. So the doubt itself depends on you, the conscious being. Without you, the conscious being, how could it be there? So in this way. So in any case, here, interesting thing, but the bondage of the donkey was unreal. Mithya. Freedom of the donkey, is it real? Also unreal, because it was never bound. Something that's never bound, how can liberation? That's why the bondage is unreal, the liberation is unreal too. If you're never bound, there's a big problem in your dream. You wake up, oh, thank God, now I'm free from all that problem. What was was the problem there? What problem is it there? Problem was there because I gave it reality then. So in this way, it's not, you can't say that the moksha is real. Just like you can't say the bondage is real, because for one to be real, the other is real. Moksha, meaning you're never bound. So what is there to be? Freed from. Freed from some misconceptions. But the misconceptions can't really stand like this. A misconception doesn't have substance to stand. So this is what's being pointed out here. Don't think that I'm bound and I have to free myself. Like this. If I'm bound and I need to free myself, how, It's a much heavier, difficult thing, first of all. And if you're really bound, how can you be totally free? Means to be bound means I'm something limited. How can I become unlimited? You can't become unlimited like this. So if really I'm mixed up within the chain of action-reaction is endless. You can't have an end to action-reaction, never ending. The only way it can be totally transcended is by negating it, just like negating the dream. No other way. So you can't say that liberation is real, just as you can't say bondage is real in this way. And the reason donkey is used, because the donkey doesn't really think much, right? Good for working, but not thinking. So the body, mind are good for doing some work, but not for it. But not they can't go to the essence like this. Okay. So this is what this is saying, that we have to really be aware of this in this way. Let's finish here, because I see some people a little bit tired today, so I think we piled enough discussion with that. So let's conclude and then we'll continue next time. Om. 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 Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. So before we go, if anybody has any clarification questions, we can discuss, otherwise we'll finish for today. Before any of that, just next week I'm going to be away, so I'm sorry, next week we won't have class. One thing I suggest you can do, just to keep up, because it's good to keep up every week, like today's class, you can just take time next week, hear again. These things never go old. I hear someone who talks again and again, so just keeping it fresh in the mind, just as a suggestion, like that, can always do. So in any case, any question, anything before we do finish for today then?
I do have one question.
Please.
It even sounds a little bit strange asking, but since we live, you know, we live somewhat with our mitya, is there a hierarchy of mitya? You know, the story of the donkey and the invisible rope, and it made me think, you know, is there any more weight? Is it all equally the same? Is there any more weight to the, you know, the real rope or the invisible rope, or the conception that the rope never was, or the rope, you know, it's mm-hmm. in terms of trying to perceive, beyond the Maya.
At earlier stages in the study, we do see the two different levels, the Pratibhasika Sat and the other is Vyavaharika Sat. Pratibhasika, this is projected, meaning my own ideas, like my dream or my interpretation of things. That's just my own projection. Then we have Vyavaharika, which is the objective world. So those you can say is two different levels. Then Paramarthika Sat, the absolute, right? So like the dream world or my imaginations is, you know, mitya. It's like another layer on a layer. So that's a layer put on top of this objective world layer. And this one is put on top of the absolute. So you could see it as two different layers like this with the rope, you'd say, yes, it's Pratibhasika, like this. So you can, so these two levels are seen, and there is the difference of your dream world and this world. We do see, that is the difference we see. We're here, that it was a good day or bad day or this, that's my projection. But, you know, that it's, you know, that the sun is shining and that, you know, that the earth is spinning and this isn't my projection. So these are two different levels. At an advanced state, this is also, then mithya is mithya, doesn't matter. Then it's this also is mithya, completely thrown out as well, because if something's an appearance and it's an appearance, you can't say not. You can't say. So that's why earlier stages we see as two different levels like that. It's very helpful because then we try to see things as they are, objectively, without projecting my ideas. Makes things simpler. And we broke it down, the Ishvara Srishti, the creation of the God, which is as things are, and Jiva Srishti, my projections on it. So that helps to loosen up so much. So then for helping to unravel, we use those two levels. But once somebody gets to absolute, appearance is appearance, done. So that's why earlier on, and very, the other we can say very advanced, you say, just because everything without my ideas, where is it? I just superimpose idea, there's just oneness in this. So again, the first one is very, very helpful. Like we were talking about not labeling things, that's meaning drop my limited idea of things, let things be as they are. So that's to get rid of the pratibhasika, the projected. It's a good question. So using the two levels for our understanding is very good, but then eventually to negate the objective world as mithya as well, it is as real, you know, it is as unreal as as the dream then later, like that. Okay. Very nice question. Very good. So get some rest, those who have long days and are a little tired. And then I'll see you then in 2 weeks, because next week, as we said, you know, sorry, just we're away. I couldn't work it out in a way for us to meet. And I've tried to do other days, but I find, it, especially with the small class, shifting the day, it never seems to work. And even though, so that's why, just best, we'll just meet in 2 weeks that way, okay? So we'll see you soon.
Thank you. And the break is fine.